the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, October the 31st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Protesters greet the President and First Lady as Pittsburgh buries its dead. Also on the Wednesday rundown, groups slam Trump's plan to revoke birthright citizenship. Plus, we'll tell you about a program that's helping families heal. Now, our top story, tragedies like the massacre that took place in a Pittsburgh synagogue over the weekend usually move people to put politics aside, but USA Today reports as President Trump touched down Tuesday in a city still reeling from the most deadly anti-Semitic attack in American history, he was greeted by hundreds of protesters singing softly in Hebrew or holding signs underscoring how controversy tends to follow Trump, even on the most solemn of occasions. USA Today says just days after a gunman burst into the Tree of Life synagogue, killing 11, Trump was once again thrust into the uneasy role of consoling a deeply divided nation, even as he has relied on increasingly sharp rhetoric to define Democrats ahead of the midterms. Latino and civil rights groups are dismissing President Donald Trump's plans to end birthright citizenship, calling it an unconstitutional election week stunt to appeal to his base.
Trump said in an interview Monday that he's planning an executive order revoking the right to automatic citizenship for people born on American soil and will reserve it only for babies with at least one parent who is a citizen. Karina Martinez with the group Mi Familia Vota in Nevada says birthright citizenship was spelled out in the Constitution's 14th Amendment precisely to defend against this type of discrimination.
The proposal is a provocation, but it's more than just that. It's really an attack on the principle of equality in our country.
The 14th Amendment was put in place after the Civil War to protect former slaves and their children and has been open to different interpretations over the years. President Trump said on Monday that it's ridiculous for someone to have citizenship solely because they're born in the U.S., but any such executive order would provoke litigation because the Constitution can only be changed by a two-thirds majority in Congress or passage by two-thirds of state legislatures. I'm Suzanne Potter.
According to the American Immigration Council, nearly one in five Nevada residents is an immigrant, and one in six is a native-born U.S. citizen with at least one immigrant parent. Meantime, Mark Richardson reports political leaders and political officials are calling next week's midterm elections some of the most important votes Americans will cast in several decades.
Massachusetts voters will mark their ballots in races for U.S. Senate and House seats, the governor, state legislators, and other statewide officials, and several ballot initiatives including campaign spending and transgender rights. Jeanette Senecal with the League of Women Voters says it's important to study the candidates and issues before casting those votes.
They should take some time to learn about the candidates and the ballot issues. They can go to vote411.org where they can put in their address and we will give them who's going to be on their ballot and what issues are also going to be on their ballot so they can figure out who would best represent them.
She adds voters should make sure they know their precinct number and the location of their polling place. Massachusetts voters should bring identification with them. A driver's license or state ID card is best, but officials will accept other forms of ID.
In Massachusetts, 68% of registered voters cast ballots in the general election in 2016. That's well above the national average of 60%. The use of oil and gas drilling in New Mexico in the past 18 months has also led to a surge of influence spending in the race for the next commissioner of public lands. Ross Brown explains.
Democrat Stephanie Garcia Richard, Republican Pat Lyons, and Libertarian Michael Lucero all want the job. But the Chevron Corporation has poured $2 million into the race to support Lyons, primarily for television ads. Liliana Castillo with Conservation Voters New Mexico says the state deserves a commissioner who will hold oil and gas companies accountable and protect New Mexico's air, land, and water.
In New Mexico in particular, we have more acres of state trust land than any other state in the country. So that makes the Commissioner of Public Lands the most powerful land manager in the West.
A Lyons spokesperson said they had no control over who contributes money to his campaign. Castillo notes that the commissioner also has the power to regulate methane emissions in a state where the Four Corners methane cloud is as large as Delaware.
New Mexico's economy relies heavily on the boom and bust revenues from oil and gas production. Castillo says renewable energy, including wind and solar, need to be part of a diversifying of the state's economy for future generations. And finally, Mary Sherman tells us the opioid crisis has left some parents struggling with addiction, resulting in an overburdened foster care system. An innovative program is expanding in the state of Ohio to help these parents and their children heal.
Highland County is one of the first 17 counties participating in the Ohio START pilot. It combines the efforts of children's services, juvenile courts, and behavioral health treatment providers to support parents fighting substance abuse whose children have been removed from the home. And a key element of the program is peer mentors like Ray Jean Noble.
Families can reach out to us with concerns as far as their treatment or case plans or anything like that, and we can act as a go-between the families and the caseworker, but also we can use our experience to kind of help guide them through the process.
The program began in 2017 and is now expanding to 17 more counties, thanks to federal grant money from the Attorney General's Office and the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services.
It is estimated that 80% of the abuse and neglect cases in Ohio's child welfare system are related to drugs, including opioids. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your day newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.